to win the Grade 1 Shadwell Mile, beating reigning horse of the year, Wise Dan. Silver Max has earned $1,658,403. The Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profits, so take a close look at the consignment of Bird and C. Jones, the Airdrie Stud agent at Keeneland. 7 excellent weanlings, 6 by Airdrie Stallions, Haynesfield in Majestic Perfection. 4 from the first crop by a Grade 1 Stakes winner in Millionaire Haynesfield, a son of Eclipse Award winner and outstanding sire Spritestown, and 2 by the Grade 1 winner Majestic Perfection, described by leading trainer Steve Asmussen as the fastest horse he had ever seen. The 7th is from the first crop by Girolamo, a Grade 1 winner by A.P. Indy. They're in Book 2, Barn 36, selling Friday. And if you're looking for a young broodmare or a racing prospect, see Hip number 26, selling Monday at Fazy Tipton. That's Dancing in the Circle by Divine Park. She's won stakes, has placed in graded stakes, and has earned $121,240. Her misses the family of Holy Bull. Then see Hip 147, a young breeding prospect. She's earned over $87,000 by the Red Hot Kitten's Joy, out of a stakes winner and stakes producer. They're in Barn 3A, consigned by Burton C. Jones, Airdrie Stud, agent.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, and here we are here at the bright and sunny Clocker Stand at the Thoroughbred Center, as per usual, and big work day today. 75 works here at the Clocker Stand. Where else would it be? Except they're working on the track, but we're in the Clocker Stand.
Okay.
Whatever.
I was real confused.
Gorgeous. Did you see that sunrise this morning?
Yes, it was beautiful. I was up.
It was gorgeous. You know, I tell you what, I had almost had to stop and look at it, but I would have been late getting here to help Susie.
Ooh.
So didn't want to do that. What are we doing today? Dr. Walter Zant's going to come by. He's going to come by a little later on in this hour, as a matter of fact. And Dr. Doug Byers, who does a regular vet segment, is going to be here. I assume he always is, with Michael Blowen from Old Friends. Steve Moody is, we're going to get him on probably in the second hour. We'll check and see when he wants to come on. And they're running the Chalukie Stakes down at Churchill Downs today. Of course, Steve's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by my good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. And I'm going to ask him if he's got time to give us the winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic while we are at it. And of course, we have Jackie's announcements. And is this Walter coming here now? I believe it is. All right. I'll just put him on right away.
There you are. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
He's sitting right there.
Steve Moody, as we're going to be on. Jackie's announcements, of course, will be coming up. And we've got going to do a little history and got to make one announcement, which is kind of a sad one, the death of Harlan's Holiday. He was out in Argentina. And come on in, Walter. And he had covered a mare and was getting ready to, they were taking him back, and he lost all his coordination from his rear end. And then, I don't understand this. Walter's a veterinarian, and maybe he can tell me. This is Walter's end.
I read it this morning, too, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds very strange. It's a very strange situation.
Yeah, they were talking about his intestines coming out of his rectum.
Well, he probably prolapsed his rectum. Probably.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, you're supposed to know those things. You're a veterinarian, supposed to know everything, aren't you?
Yeah, that's
what
the word.
What kind of a vet is this? Well, I tell you what, since you're here early, we'll just get started with you.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I've known Walter for probably longer than either one of us would like to admit, but goes back a while. And alongside, get a little closer to that microphone. Just scoot up there a little bit. You want a Coke or something?
No, I'm good.
Okay. You know, as long as I've known you, Walter, I've never known where you were from originally. Where are you from?
I'm from Western New York.
Oh, well, that explains a lot.
No, I grew up in close to Buffalo in a little town called East Aurora, New York.
Okay. Well, you're up there in the where all the snow is, aren't you?
Right, all the snow, yeah, right on the snow part.
Yeah. Was your family in the horse business or anything?
No, my mother was from far western Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, okay.
Clinton, which is...
Well, you're just happy.
About, on the river.
About as far west as you can get.
It's right on the river, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's 6 miles from the Mississippi and 6 miles from Tennessee border, so it's right down there.
Down close to Owensburg.
No, way past that.
Yeah.
No way, and down in the Penny Row.
Yeah, down in the little very end.
Purchase, or whatever they call it.
Jackson Purchase. Jackson Purchase, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was just reading about the team that came up, what was that from? Cuba. They won
Cuba,
the state tournament
Kentucky.
In 1951.
They were down from down that way.
From the Jackson.
Yeah, Cuba's down that end somewhere. Yeah. I don't know exactly where it is.
Very interesting thing. Yeah. What, was your family in the horse business?
How'd they were all interested and enjoyed them and stuff, but I just grew up riding and then worked on a trot and track in the Buffalo Raceway there in Buffalo. And
started out with the Jugheads.
Yeah, still with the Jugheads. So.
Are you? Well, the horses, aren't they? But, yeah. Okay, so what?
I worked for Stoner Creek for 30 years. So
is that right? The Charlie Kenny over there? Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Man, he's a character, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah. He taught me a lot.
Well, I bet he did. He taught a whole lot of people a lot. Charlie was... He was very fond of him. You had to like him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But boy, he was gregarious. Would be one way to describe him, wouldn't it?
He had his opinions.
Yeah. Well,
so I remember you and your partner had some mares here back. This has had to be the early late
60s.
Late 60s.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you had them, but it wasn't too far from here somewhere. You're over.
Owen Campbell's place.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And I remember driving up there one afternoon for Ed. Ed sent me over there. Ed Fallon sent me over there to do something.
Yeah.
And I think you were there, but somebody was holding a mare in the stall door, and I pulled my car up across the end of the barn, and there's a new car. I was really proud of it. And this mare backed out of the stall door and backed all the way down the hallway of the barn into the side of my car.
I mean, you know that happened to Dave Parrish, and same thing happened there. They were putting one down, I believe.
He broke his back window.
And you know, David fell right in my Mercedes. I said, David, you shouldn't have parked that close. I don't believe I was there with you, Walter.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, well, that was back in the
60s. Yeah.
Yeah, probably early 60s.
Yeah, well, probably. I went to work at Haggard in 66.
So. Did you really? Yeah. Where'd you go to college?
Cornell.
What, do vet school at Cornell?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I came and worked here at the Veterinary Science Department for 2 years.
Did you?
For Jack Bryan's, and that's how I met Ed, and then that's how I ended up at Haggard's.
Yeah. Now, getting back to when you were first started out, you said you were riding. What were you riding?
Oh, just
pleasure horses.
Pleasure horses, yeah.
Did your family have horses?
Personal? Well, just those, you know, two
or
three.
They had to live in the country then.
Well, we lived in a small town and had 2 acres of land and a little barn.
Yeah. Okay, so you had something to ride, and that's what got you interested.
Yeah.
You knew when did you know you were going to want to be a vet?
Oh, probably senior in high school.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I went to high school with Ed.
Yeah.
Fallon, you know. And I think he knew right from birth, I think.
Oh, well, he got it. He didn't have much choice. He was the only male to carry that thing out.
I think, most babies say mommy or daddy. I think his first words were palpate. So you went to Cornell.
Yeah.
And where did you go after Cornell? You said you came.
I worked at Purdue for a year.
Was that like working there?
It was a very brand new veterinary school. They just graduated one class, I just was they'd call it an internship today, but I just sort of went to work in the clinic there. And then I came down to
UK? The
Veterinary Science Department, and worked for Jack Bryan's. It was right when A2 influenza had arrived, and we were vaccinating a lot of mares and bleeding mares all over the United States and trying to get a handle on that. And that's kind of what got me started. And then the second year I rode with Ed some and then ended up at Haggard's.
Okay. Who was there besides you and Ed with Dave Parrish?
No, he wasn't there yet.
He wasn't there yet.
No, okay. Dave and I just passed in veterinary school.
Dr. Bishop?
Oh, well, Bishop was there.
Yeah.
And Craig Franks and Johnny Griggs.
Okay.
Let me see. There was Haggard, Davidson, McGee, Bishop, Skews, Smith.
Mm-hmm. Jim Smith.
Yeah. Franks, Craig, and Johnny Griggs, mm-hmm. and me.
Well, that had grown a little bit. Now, where was your office when you went there?
That was on, that...
On Broadway?
It was on New Circle Road when I went there. It was that... They sold... They put radios and stuff in cars now and have those.
Know right where it is. Been in there many times.
Bright green buildings.
Yeah.
You bring people around now and show them that and then show them where we are. They can't believe it. But
I remember when it was down on Short Street,
that was preceded me a little.
Yeah. I knew Doc Charlie I didn't know Art Davidson as well as I did Doc Charlie. I knew Doc Charlie real close. Yeah. He did my dad's work over at Dixiana.
Yeah.
Dad was managing that, and then he had started doing it.
Yeah.
After that, I had a little farm, and Ed started doing mine. And then how that goes. Ed got too busy, and they passed me that pay.
Right down the letterhead you went.
Yeah. Well, what'd you specialize in?
Well, I've done mayors most of the time. Yeah. I used to work when Craig and I were both at Haggard's.
Mm-hmm.
When we were both together, Craig didn't like the standard breads, and so he'd go with Dr. Davidson to the
mm-hmm.
Keeneland, and then he didn't want to go to the Trotting Track, and so I'd go with him to Trotting Track and help him to Trotting Track, and had a lot of fun and met a lot of. Mm-hmm.
With
good people in the,
with Ed would go over there?
No, Dr. Davidson.
Oh, Art did?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now, Craig died real young, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That was sad.
He left and went on his own, and then he died. It's been a long time ago. And then I had a brain tumor.
Yeah, I remember that. Nice guy.
He was a good
friend.
He was
a jokester.
Yeah,
he was always teasing around.
He was a good friend.
Yeah.
Carried a book with him with the different jokes, so he didn't tell the same joke on the same farm.
Oh, twice. You're kidding. That is a riot. Yeah. Well, maybe he caught that jokester disease from Dr. Charlie.
Well, I think he had it when he came, but Dr. Charlie certainly would have helped him.
Oh. He always had a joke. You know, he was none of which you can repeat on the air, incidentally.
No.
But
no.
Oh, well, that's fun. Well, what did you like working with the standard breeds for?
Oh, I knew it because I groomed at the racetrack.
Yeah. Is that right? You worked as a groom at
during the summers and stuff, and so I just knew it. So it was the only thing we had in Western New York. There weren't any thoroughbreds that end of the state.
Now, is that Yonkers?
No, that's the other end. That's New York City. Buffalo Raceway, and there's a little track which was right outside of Buffalo, and there was a little track called Batavia Downs that was up a little bit, and then those were the only two that I frequented.
Were they mile tracks?
No, they're half-mile tracks.
Half-mile track. You room around.
Yeah.
You know, did you find it much, any difference working with thoroughbreds and working with...
Oh, yeah, it's quite a lot different.
Well, explain a little of that.
Well, I mean, the breeding of stuff I got into here really wasn't a whole lot of difference, except the standardbreds were using artificial insemination and the thoroughbreds weren't. But all of that was pretty much the same. But, the racehorses, the injuries were different. Standardbreds don't get near the bony injuries that thoroughbreds do, and they get a lot more soft tissue injuries. And so it was, those standardbreds go every week.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they need to or not. So you get a whole lot more action.
Yeah.
And then
training methods.
Training methods are different.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they go out here to Kentucky Futurity, they go three times in one day if they go.
I know. Yeah.
I've got a question.
Go ahead.
So I read somewhere or whatever, absorbed some sort of limited knowledge that their feet have to really, really be perfect. Otherwise, they'll hit themselves.
Yeah. I think balance, the shoeing is a lot more critical than standard boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And back when I was at Buffalo Raceway, it was really, there weren't a lot of keg shoes that people used. So you go to the farrier shop and he'd make the shoe from a piece of steel. Mm-hmm. And they all had to weigh the same. And it was a half a day job taking a horse to blacksmith shoe.
Mm. Did they walk them when they took off the shoe and walked them? And they really knew their stuff.
Doing it all the time, knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Tony Holmes, my partner, and I owned a little piece of a horse in the Kentucky Futurity 2 or 3 years ago.
Is that right?
Just two hairs on his tail. But anyway, yeah. It was fun.
That's all right.
And in the first heat of the Kentucky Futurity, he made a break, but there were only 10 horses, so he got to come back the second time anyway. And between heats, they pulled his shoes, left the shoes off his hind feet, put a different kind of shoe on his front feet, and went back and won the second heat and won the whole thing.
Oh,
what did they see? Do you know? Did they say what they saw?
Well,
they changed it?
He had a wet sled shoe on in the first heat, and the trainer came back and said he's sticking to the racetrack with his shoes. So they took his front shoes off and put half round shoes on and kept his hind shoes off. And
well, that's two people who knew what they were doing, a trainer and a blacksmith.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got to take a break here. Got to pay some bills.
Hold on to that thought.
Hang on to that. Jackie's got questions. She's always interested in feet.
I love feet. I'm a foot fetish.
Well, yesterday at Santa Anita, the Grade 2 $500,000 Breeders' Cup Marathon was won by London Bridge, a three-year-old colt by Arch. London Bridge was the only three-year-old in the field, making his first start in this country also. A 1-3 stakes in Great Britain. Arch is a great source of stamina. He's a sire of Blame, of course, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, champion older male in 2010. He's a sire of four champions now. In other recent stakes, on October 26, the running of the Grade 3 Bull Ruler at Belmont was run by Clearly Now, a three-year-old colt in the first crop by Horse Greeley. And the $100,000 Ruling Angel stakes at Woodbine went to Native Bombshell, a 3-0 filly by Warfront. The next day at Santa Anita, the Lure Stakes. Lure, of course, another Claven bred, was won by Bio Pro, Warfront's 18th 2013 stakes winner. Now, Warfront is also the sire of Declaration of War, goes today in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, and Diamond Bachelor in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Arch, Blame, Warfront, stand at Claven Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sam. See the website at clavenfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then BristNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BristNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BristNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why new generation is using APR Online.
Well, Indian Creek has a history of offering some of the best thoroughbreds in the world at public auction, and Indian Creek consignment to the November sales out of Keeneland and at Facy Tipton, Kentucky, they don't stray from that tradition. The Keeneland consignment consists of 5 beautifully bred in foal mares, 6 exceptional weanling colts. There's a young winning daughter of this Spitestown out of a Grade 2 stakes winner by El Prado in foal to Midnight Loot. A multiple stakes winner and graded stakes producer in foal to Arch. Arch is this mare, incidentally, is the dam of Secret Circle, who's supposed to go in the Breeders' Cup Sprint today for Bob Baffert. Another daughter of Spitestown is there. She's a Grade 2 stakes winner, Sweet and Ready by El Prado, and foal to Lemon Drop Kid. A young group stakes winner in foal to Quality Road. A young full sister to a graded stakes winner out of a graded stakes winner in foal to Lemon Drop Kid.
Indian Creek's also offering six excellent weanlings, colts by the likes of Bellamy Road, Scat Daddy Arch, Candy Ride, one from the first crop by Claiborne's young, popular young sire Trap Shot, son of Tappet, and Lemon Drop Kid. Five of the six are out of mares described earlier. Check them out in book two, then go to Barn 39, and they'll sell Friday, November 8th. Also on November 4th, now that's Monday, isn't it? Yeah. At Fazy Tipton, Indian Creek is offering hip number 82, a weanling filly by the leading sire Spritestown from a top family. Seaman Barn 3D. And to ensure your purchase, call the folks at Clay Ward Agency in Paris. 859-987-1861, Indian Creek, and the Clay Ward Agency. Two names to remember in the thoroughbred business. All right, we're talking about trotters here with Dr. Walter Zent. I didn't realize that that you were that involved with trotters, Walter.
Well, no, not so much anymore. We got a mare just for fun, Tony and I do, that we race out of.
I've never met Tony. I'd like to meet him. I tried to get him on the show once, and he wouldn't come. I'll try him again.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
If you live, you can tell him that you lived, and then maybe he'll come.
Yeah, he told him you got through it. But you all have raised a lot of runners over there.
Yeah, we've been lucky.
Yeah.
Had some good luck and had a lot of people help us. And Tony does a wonderful job of pedigree reading and looking at horses.
Now, where is exactly his farm?
He's got a little place on Marula, called up Marula Park on Russell Cave just before you get to Lauderdale. Right by the church.
Huh. Oh, okay. All right.
And it's only 50 acres.
Is that where Cap Hershey's place is?
Right next door.
Right next door to Cap's old place.
Between Cap and the church.
Who's got Cap's old place now?
It's, what's that man's name? It's called Clear Sky Farm. I guess he's... The owner just died, and his son's running. I'm having a mental block to what his name is.
Now, your place is on Newtown Pike.
Right.
Yeah.
We got 40 acres there, so it's not, we don't have
you
a lot.
You do the mowing, or is it June?
No, June.
June's his wife.
I know. I mean, yes.
June does the...
It's radio.
June does the work, the way the
do you keep any horses there?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Tony and I... Swap them back and forth.
Yeah. Well, how many acres does Tony have over there?
50.
50? Well, that between you, you got 100 acres to fiddle around with.
Close to it.
Yeah. Yeah, here comes Michael blowing. Where's Doc sitting out there in the truck?
Yeah, he's got a cough. He doesn't want to come up.
He's got a cough?
No. Yeah.
Oh, no.
He doesn't want to give it to you.
I appreciate that. Michael, Walter Zent.
Walter, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
American Racehorse.
I know this is a little new for you, a little too contemporary. American Racehorse in 1956. Since we're still doing fillies of 51. I want you to think ahead
about
the horses of 56.
I remember the year very well, 1956. Although I hate it, but they got a Florida bred on the cover here in Needles, and a California bred in Swaps. Of course, there's Barbizon. He ended up down at Hermitage Farm, but anyway.
Yeah, Nash was in there. They got some nice photographs.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Joe, this is post Joe Capalmer, though. Joe had died 4 or 5. He used to write these, you know.
I know. Yeah. Joe was. Well, he died too young, that guy.
Oh,
yeah. He sure did. So did Doc. We were talking about Dr. Franks, and then somebody else we were talking about that passed away real young. I forget just a minute ago. We were mentioning his name, and Cap Hershey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just in his 50s when he...
Yeah.
Did you know him very well?
Oh, yeah, I worked for him.
You worked for him?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you did his vet work?
Yeah, I did his mare work for 10 years.
Oh, okay, I like Cap. Tell me a little bit about Charlie Kenny. How'd you get in with Charlie?
Well, Charlie's had a son, John, who was 2 years ahead of me in veterinary school.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck, well, they... It was John at Cornell. He was Shaq here. And he went to the Army when he got out of veterinary school. And because he was in the ROTC program, and he married a veterinarian. And then he came down here in, it would have been 1964, four, I guess, and was at Haggard's. Uh-huh. And then when I came to Haggard's, he was there, and we'd been friends in veterinary school. So, he was a couple years ahead of me, so I'd help him do some stuff.
Yeah.
And then when he decided to leave and go back up east, and so that's when I started doing Charlie Kenny's work, Stony Creek's work.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Count Fleet was still there when I was there.
I was just getting ready to ask you that. Yeah. I got to see him. I hold a mare down there for Dixiana one time to be bred to Count Fleet.
Yeah, he was retired, but he had his own stall in the stallion barn.
Yeah.
And,
he was not an impressive horse to look at,
no,
was he?
No.
Yeah. But boy, he was a good sire and, of course, a great racehorse.
Yeah.
So you got to see Count Fleet?
He was there.
What other farms were you working for at that time?
Oh, well, I was doing helping Ed a lot. He was my main mentor, and I was doing Stone Reef and Stoner Creek, kind of on my own, and then helping Ed do some other places, and then slowly. You know, as Ed went up the calendar, I picked up you, like you just said, but I got down the calendar a little bit. So the list on the letterhead. But anyway, then I did Gainesway for a while, and I
saw you over at Claiborne one day.
Well, I used to do Walter Coffin and I were good friends. And actually, I came down here and rode with Colonel Sager when I was in veterinary school.
Oh, okay. That had been an experience.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so we were good friends when we were, when Walter came, he was a year ahead of me. So we were, again, we had been friends. He didn't go to, he went to Georgia, but we were still the young guys in town. So we got to be good friends. So. Yeah. I hung out there a lot, and then they'd use Haggard's for, Dr. Davidson would go over there, and Dr. McGee would go over there if they had, something they wanted somebody to look at or Ed or somebody. So,
did you ever go to Dixiana?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
You knew my dad then? No, my dad died in 64.
Yeah, so I didn't know him.
Yeah.
But I'd go over there with Ed.
Yeah, because Ed.
Ed worked there the rest of the time it was there.
Yeah, when Dr. Charlie retired, Dr. Charlie was doing the work, and when he retired, Ed.
Yeah.
Started doing did my dad's work. You know?
And then he went on and did.
He just stayed there. I don't know if anybody else ever did it. He used to do that. I bet you over at Henry White's.
Oh sure, Henry was, was very important person in my life.
Tell me a little about that.
Well, the funniest story, and just to show you.
A lot of them about Henry.
Oh yeah, a lot of them about Henry. But I remember when I was just hadn't been here very long, and we were tubing a bunch of horses over there,
Warming them. Yeah.
And deworming. I'm supposed to say deworming now. It was warming with you.
Whatever. You're the best.
Well, that's just in the last 10 years. People have gotten sensitive about that. But
Jeez. Are we being politically correct
yeah,
now?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, I remember passing a tube on this. Had to be a gray mare, and she threw her head up, and I hit the turbinates in the back, and she started bleeding. And I was just, this was probably the second or third time I've been at Henry's farm. And the guy that was holding the horse was called to Henry and said, "Mr. White, this mare's bleeding out the nose." And he said, "Well, turn her out before she bleeds all over the stall." And that was it. and that was the end of it. And, it's amazing how much relief that made a young guy feel.
Well, Henry's seen it all.
Yeah, and he knew how to treat young people.
Yeah.
He was a great friend for another one that died too young, even though he was 80 some odd years old.
Yeah.
Still.
Because he and I grew up right close together right there, you know. I grew up on Dixiana right down the road. Yeah. And he, of course, he was, actually, he was on.
He was Ellesmead.
Yeah, he lived on that side of the road behind the store, behind the Jotum down. Yeah. I remember when he had Neil standing there, he had Nergal that stood there. Yeah. Neil, of course, the son of Nergal. He had a couple of Promethee. Do you remember Promethee?
No.
Well, he was by the same horse as Prince Quillo, but he was no Prince Quillo. No. All right. Listen, I'm behind. I got to catch, take another break here, Walter. I'm talking to Walter's Inn. Well, Misdirection, a five-year-old mare by Mizzenmast, defends her title today in a Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Misdirection displayed a brilliant closing rush to beat the boys in last year's Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. She's won three more graded stakes this year. She's earned over $1,169,000. Mizzenmast is also the sire Flotilla, winner of last year's Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, and of the French 1,000 guineas this year. Now, here's another runner by Mizzenmast to keep an eye on. Seems like there's always another Mizzenmast to watch. October 24 at Keeneland, Green Mask, 2-year-old colt by Mizzenmast, bred by the DJ Stables, won a $56,000 maiden special by 5 1/4 lengths. Breaking from post position 11 and a field of 12, he led at every call to win Gathered Up Late, to quote the official chart of the race. Mizzenmast has sired 5 Grade 1 winners, so it would be a good idea to take a look at the Mizzenmast weanings and mares in Foldway's cover at the upcoming breeding stock sales. Classic sire Mizzenmast and the young classic sire First Defense stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Gerald O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Well, Miss Machiavelli, winner of October 26th of the $100,000 Pike Place Dancer Stakes at Golden Gates, the 5th 2-year-old stakes winner of 2013 by Artie Schiller. No other sire has 5 2-year-old stakes winners, and 2 are Grade 1 stakes winners. He's also the only sire of 2 juvenile Grade 1 stakes winners. Grade 1, that is. His 2-year-old, the 2-year-olds have won through October 26, $1,113,224. Ranks 3rd on the 2-year-old sire list, only to Warfront. His fee is $150,000. And his stablemate at Windstar Farm, well, Harlan's Holiday, who is now gone. Artie Schiller's Grade 1 winning juvenile, Wee Miss Artie, goes today in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Other Windstar sires with starters in Breeders' Cup races today are Colonel John, Harlan's Holiday, Sprightstown, Distorted Humor, Street Hero, and Tis Now. For more information about the Windstar stallions, call Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim at Windstar Farm, 859-833-1776. Let me try that again. Spit it out, Ursel. 859-833-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Welcome to Dr. Walters. And we want
to. I have to throw something in here that Michael said to say.
Oh.
They took all those horses off Lasix, all those 2-year-olds and stuff yesterday, and they're getting up. Pants beat off of them by those horses from Europe that have never raced on Lasix. So he's cashing tickets hand over fist. He's going out again today. That's the tip.
He's going to go out there and give it all back today.
He had that Irish horse and, you know, all that kind of stuff. He said, you know, because that's a betting angle you don't get very often.
Well, I don't know about that or not. What do you think, Walter?
I'm going to stay out of that because I don't know what to, I don't know what I think.
Yeah, about LASIK.
Yes.
Well, you got to have an opinion.
Well,
everybody's got one.
Yeah, but I don't have enough experience being around the racetrack to really know. But you know, it seems like it's the most publicized thing, but it might not be the most important thing to be fighting about with. As far as drugs are concerned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably right, yeah. Okay, I always thought that if a horse has, you know, if a horse was a proven bleeder, they should be allowed to take it. If not, don't, you know. But that's where the vet should be, have the call on that.
Yeah. You know, it's a discussion that there's 100 different sides to.
Yeah. Well, I just gave you one.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what the other 99 are.
Well, I'm not sure I do either, but everybody's got an opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, well, most of mine are wrong, so I'll just shut up and start rolling here. Well, let's see, where'd we leave off? I was asking you about something.
I'll say one thing. I remember you talk about how we've seen technology change since we were here. Now, when I first came here, Ed and I would go up to Guamazon, and sometimes it would be very late in the afternoon by the time we'd get up there.
Winchester.
Winchester. But at whatever time you came on to give the race results, everything had to stop, and they'd get the newspaper out, and turn the radio on, and go down the list and mark the winners. I mean, that was a ritual on the farm.
Is that right?
Yeah. And, you know, now, hell, you know, everybody knows this information before you give it, but you gave more information in less time than anybody I've ever heard on a radio.
Well, thank you. Well, technology caught up with me with that show, but at one time, you know, I was about to... That was it. About the only source of race results around.
Yeah.
Unless you went down to the Herald Leader and looked over the shoulder to APY, which is where I got it. Yeah. You know, off a old-fashioned teletype. That thing would be clattering away in the background there. I remember to this day. And then, thank God, Happy Broadbent rescued me from over to, and I started using a computer. I mean, it was a very, it had to be a simple computer for me to use. And anyway, then that show, Walter started doing that show back in the late 50s, off and on. And then I took it over and did it for 50 years.
Yeah, I know, it's a long time.
Yeah. Finally had to, it got to the point, you know, where the information was all readily available. People look at their cell phones and get it. So
yeah.
I just, I've been doing this one now for about 15 years.
Really?
Yeah, I think I started in 98 or 99, and it's 2013 now. You're a young chick.
Not anymore. Dang. Thanks for reminding me.
Okay. Well, I guess Bill O'Neill was down there then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's another character.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, another person I considered a mentor of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great education.
Yeah.
Here in Kentucky. I mean, after my Cornell education.
Well, you were associated with some really nice, unusual, fun people. Bill O'Neill would certainly fit that description. Yeah. Of course, so did Charlie Kenny.
So Henry White.
And Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember a story about Henry that Tommy Goncharoff told. You know Tommy? Or you remember Tommy? Tommy managed Crystal Springs here for Mr. Hubbard. He was here about 20 years. Anyway, Tommy came from California, and I started doing his work when he first came here, and he didn't know anybody. He'd been in the quarter horse business. Mm-hmm. He was up here.
R.D. Hubbard.
R.D. Hubbard,
Knew
Mr. Hubbard through the quarter horse business and had managed his farm here. He was hired to come up here and manage his farm. So we got to be friends pretty quickly, and he was asking me, you know, who can I talk to? So I took him and introduced him to Henry. And they got on pretty well, and that was right when Hermitage was having their dispersing some of their horses, and, or maybe they're just going over to look at the yearlings. Anyway, Henry called Tommy and said, you want to ride over there with me and look at these yearlings? And he jumped at the chance and thought, oh, I could learn a whole lot of things. And so when he got home at night, he called me up and said, well, it was a great trip, but all we talked about was where to buy food and what restaurants to eat in.
That was Henry.
When you got to Louisville or Lexington.
Yeah. Yeah. Henry loved to eat, didn't he?
He'd drive all over town. He'd go to drive halfway across town for a jar of mustard because it was the only place that had it, you know.
Yeah, and he was always planning his vacations where he could stay with somebody.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Henry was a sharp cookie. I had him on the show a long time ago. Oh, I had him on a couple of times, and I asked him, you know, Dan, you know, since you started in the business out there, what do you think was, you know, the biggest change for farm managers and everything? And he says, we didn't have to tube worming anymore,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, pace worming.
Oh, yeah. That was a big deal.
It was a big deal, yeah.
Oh, some of those things. I grew up with the spy songs. I don't know if you ever ran into any of them or not.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah. Oh, yeah.
they were a little on the fiery side.
Yeah, I remember Ed saying, and then we proved it, that, you know, don't get in a fight with one of them because you're not going to win.
Oh, exactly right. You know, the damn spy song, Matta Hara.
Yeah.
She hated the sight of Dr. Charlie. I mean, she knew him. I mean, he couldn't get within 20 yards of that mare, you know. And yeah, I don't know if they ever wormed her. I swear to God, I know. She made it. She lived way up in her 20s before she died, you know. And she hemorrhaged and died on her feet, that mare did, you know.
Yeah.
She was a fighter to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to take, but, you know, to handle her and everything, I was just a kid, and I was cleaning out her stall and everything. I'd turn her in now. She was no problem. Yeah, other than she used to, I'd have the stall nice and clean, and I'd put her in the stall. First thing she wanted to do was pee. I could have killed her.
Well, there's, you know, there are horses that know the sound of a veterinarian's car. I mean, they people have to catch before I get there. Yeah. You know, not a lot of them, but
no, of a vet's car.
They'll let me catch her before you get here. You know, they'll tie her up and then she'll be fine. But if they try to catch her when I'm in the barn, they can't catch her.
Well, I think she was gone when Ed took over.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just talking about other mares. You know, there are a group of those mares around.
Yeah, well, Ed dodged a bullet there.
Yeah. But there are plenty of spy songs still there.
Yeah. Well, when I went on racetrack, there were still some of them that we trained, you know. And they were runners. They had that speed, you know, that spy song speed. I don't think there was ever a horse that came out of the starting gate like he used to. I mean, he made starters look bad, you know. Only other horse I seen do that was that Majestic Perfection down at Burr Jones. When I watched him win that Grade One Stakes at Saratoga and they spring the latch, and he was a length and a half in front before the rest of them came out of the gate. I mean, it was the damnedest thing I'd ever seen. So that horse was fast. That horse was really, really fast. The first foals of yearlings this year, so hopefully they'll run for Brary.
Yeah.
There was another farm I was going to ask you about, and you mentioned it just a minute ago. That you did I bet you did some work for him. You brought the name up now. It slipped my mind. Some of the other old timers you were talking about.
I don't know. It slipped my mind too. I guess that happens more often, I notice, to me lately.
Well, yeah, that ain't all. This happens when you're getting up there. Are you breeding anything or yourself now? Tony.
Tony and I still live.
Yeah, how many mares y'all have?
About 10, I guess.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, you're in it pretty good. Yeah. That's enough to keep you honest.
Yeah,
working. You still practicing?
I do. I just do the mare work, but I still go to Shawnee and I go to Judmont, and I do Tony's and Mine, and I do Greenwood Lodge, which is Bill McAlpin.
Mm-hmm. Greenwood Lodge?
Right, yeah. Next door. That,
yeah, right,
one,
we're right
one
next
farm,
door.
We're one farm past them.
Okay.
There's a cattle farm and then us.
Well, we just got a little place.
Yeah. Okay.
But all we've got is four old horses there that are kind of in the same condition that I'm in.
Well, he's got two horses in the Breeders' Cup this week.
Who's that?
That he bred, McAlpin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've never met him. They've turned that farm into a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is. He did a wonderful job.
Yeah. They even built a chapel there.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What denomination is he in?
He's Episcopal, I think.
Episcopal?
Yeah.
Has he got his own priest?
Well, there's somebody. The priest from Paris comes out there at Christmas time. I've been there to a party, and they have a little.
Really?
A little.
Well, isn't that neat?
Christmas time.
Tell him to invite his neighbors.
Yeah. We're Christians.
What the hell is this?
I used to ride on that place when he bought it. First bought it, and they tore everything out. And they, who was it? That, what you call it? The other neighbor. Burberry.
Dan, not Dan, but Dan's cousin.
Yeah.
There I go again.
Nice. Had some health problems.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah,
he said, oh, you can come down and ride. So we just, I just have to go out the front gate and turn left.
Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl. Yeah.
And go down. The cattle place is just real short and right on that turn. We'd go back and ride in there a long time.
Who manages that place now? You know more about my
David. David Schoen.
Okay, I don't know him.
He's an Irish, and he worked for Jonah Bell for a long time.
Oh, okay. At over Darley or for John Bell?
Jonah, it's John Bell.
Okay,
and
he came from a good place.
And then I don't know what he did. He kind of bounced around a little bit in the interim, and then he went to work for Bill. He's doing a very nice job. Nice job.
A good job. Well, I have to get a hold of him.
Yeah.
I thought I had all the Irishmen around here on the show.
Yeah, he'd be.
I'm a big fan of the Irish. You know, I think they've moved the bar up as far as
horsemanship. Oh, they certainly have. They certainly have.
Yeah.
I think they moved the business bar up a bit, you know, when they came
absolutely.
In here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All those young guys with, you know, there wasn't anybody, first generation, very few first generation Irish when I first came here.
No.
But it was when
Bill O'Neill's dad.
Yeah, right. He was gone.
Yeah.
And there wasn't anybody that filled the gap until really, I think, when Sangster bought Creekview.
Yeah. Were they the first in?
Well, in my mind, they were the first. And I don't know whether they really were. And Bud Paul was managing. I was doing the
work. There was an Irish fellow that managed Woodvale Farm. Name was Bennett.
I don't even know where Woodvale Farm is.
Well, it was what is now Dixiana.
Oh,
you know, when they sold off that section of Dixiana.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they changed it to Crown Crest and Domino and
thing,
you know. But it was Woodvale first.
Okay.
There was an Irish fella that ran that at that time.
But then, you know, all these guys that have come and then a lot of them came working for Coolmore and then left and did stuff on their own, you know.
Yeah. Bill O'Neill brought a bunch of them over.
Yeah.
Worked at Spendthrift.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Pork and Bean and all those people.
Yeah. I tell one on. You know Pork?
Yeah, sure.
He's a funny guy, too. He's the one they had a bunch of Irish at a farm manager's meeting, you know, and they were asking them. And one of the questions was, what's been the biggest change, you know?
Improvement.
Improvement, you know, since you came to this country. And everybody was talking about, you know, different things that happened in the business and hand, you know, like the worming and everything like that, and as important just the automatic door, the garage door opener. I gotta do this right now. Invisor won 9 Grade 1 stakes. Prominent among them was the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic.
in which he defeated a field that included the likes of Bernardini and Premium Tap and Giacomo and Brother Derek, Perfect Drift, Loyeron, Flower Alley. Invisor was voted Horse of the Year and Champion Older Male, and was the top-rated horse in the world at 4. Never defeated in his native South America, where he had also been named Horse of the Year and Champion 3-year-old. Never defeated in North America. Winner of the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup. Top-rated horse in the world at retirement. Invisor earned more than $7,804,000. He's the sire of the 2013 stakes winner Alsace. Winner of the Grade 3 Modesty. Placed in 3 more stakes, including the Grade 1 Beverly Dewey. She's earned $331,000. And St. Arthur, winner of the Ontario County Stakes and placed in 3 others, among them the Bertram F. Bongard at Belmont. In addition, Invisor is the sire of 2 others that have placed in stakes this year, Expression, stakes placed twice at Belmont, and Tichaco at Tampa Bay. For more about the stands at Shadwell Farm, get in touch with Kent Barnes, 859-224-4585. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. All righty. I want to talk about my good friend Ralph Quillen down at Quillen Leather and Tack. And, of course, that is down in Paris, Kentucky. And this is the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship out over 17,000 halters a year. And it seems like they repair about that many for us. I don't know.
Seems that way.
Yeah, it seems that way. Anything you want, they'll get it for you if they don't have it there. And most of the times they do have it. And they got a great gift shop.
Oh, yeah. Susan Clements said to tell you that she heard about the belts.
Mm-hmm.
And her sister was in from out of town, and they went out to...
Oh, the leather belts with the name.
The leather belts with the names nameplate on them. And they went out and bought 3 of them. So that was good. Said they loved them. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, well, the leather in there is the best. In fact, everything they handle
is the best. I think they bought some keychain stuff, too.
Did they? Okay, well, it's good. We've got a great gift shop, so stop by and see him. That's my good buddy Ralph Quillen down there. He looks like, you know, with the beard, he should be what's that, Duck?
Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty. He'd fit right in with the Duck Dynasty people, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, and he's down there working on his saloon and his brewery, so.
Yeah, his man building a brewery in downtown Paris.
That seems to be the thing to do.
Well, I tell you what, that's Quillen Leather and Tack. That's Quillen.com, Quillin.com. Stop by and see them. They're great people. If you haven't picked up your Sunday edition of the Racing Form, it's on the newsstands as we speak. And in there you'll find a preview of the November breeding stock sale with a couple of riders, Joe Nevels and Nicole Russo. Also, Patrick Reed's writing about Fazy Tipton November sale, which starts Monday. John Sparkman has got an article in there about Europe's promising young freshman, sire Master Craftsman. I think he's by Dane Hill Dancer. His comprehensive stake reports is also a broodmare sire list, which should be important now that the November breeding stock sales is here. And there's an article in there about stallions with first crop weanlings in the sale. Now, that's the breeding edition. It's in the Sunday edition of the Daily Racing Form on your newsstands today, or you can pick it up probably at Keeneland, of course, you know, in any place where the... You know, you can get a racing form in Paris, Kentucky. You buy it at the BP station right downtown. Can't miss it. Daily racing form. All right, I'm talking to Walter. I guess I'm going to have to let you go here in a minute. I know I've been boring you to tears here. we've talked about some old timers here that we've known all along. For many years.
Who do you breed to nowadays? That's my...
That's Tony's part of the business, but we've got to find somebody that's going to be hot in November or in September, which is a bit of a project. But
Did you sell anything this year?
Yeah, we sold... Yeah. Took 7 and sold 6. That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Right, as long as you were happy with the sales.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. What were they by? You remember?
I'd forget by now, too. That's not my... I could tell you about their mother's ovaries, but I...
I'm not really interested.
Right. But We sold an Escadrille really well.
That's his first crop.
Yeah. Nice, colt.
Got anything in November sale?
We got two babies at Fezzik. That's and a couple of mares that were just, we don't fit our program anymore.
Okay.
We're selling.
At Fezzik Tipton?
No, the mares are Keeneland.
At Keeneland. And you got a couple of weanlings?
A couple of weanlings.
What are they buying now? Tony, help.
You don't have a catalog here,
do you? No, I didn't bring a catalog. I'd have to hook up a trailer to bring a catalog.
One's out of a mare named Banner, who we bought from Shawnee.
And, oh, you do Shawnee's work?
Yeah.
Now did you start doing that when Rachel passed away?
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of when I started it. And
that was sad. Rachel Pimstein.
Rachel did our stuff, and it got so that when her hands got so she couldn't really feel, Jim McKee would follow her and check on what she did. Nobody ever said a word about it.
It was just the nicest
thing to do.
Yeah, she was a great girl. She... she came. She worked for Haggard for quite a while.
A long time.
Yeah.
Wonder what ever happened to her little farm over close to Midway.
I don't know what happened to that.
Yeah. Her dad used to had a pretty good horse or two.
Yeah.
Bunny was his name.
Yes, Bunny. She finally went for a treatment in Germany for that disease she had, and she said, "You just don't know how hard it is for a Jew to go to Germany for doctors, you know."
Yeah, she was.
Bless her heart. We liked her.
Yeah, she was a good girl. We were good friends.
Yeah. I forget who she followed with us. She started. Who was doing the work for us before then? They moved.
I know. Kirk Shiner. Was he then, or was he after her?
He would have been...
About that time.
About that time.
Yeah, I think we
had. He did some work for us.
Kirk, and then Kirk went back out west.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's out. He still breeds, too.
A few, yeah. He's got a few in here in partnership with people.
Okay. But he's living in Colorado.
Mike Ryan, I think Mike might have a mare, too. And,
oh, okay. The bloodstock age.
Yeah.
Okay.
Woodford Hounds went out to Kirk's place a couple of years ago and fox hunted out there.
Did they?
Yeah, in Colorado. They said it was flat and straight and fast.
Well, that wasn't the Kirk shot the place that I went to, but I'm sure it would have still been bad. But he's a land trader. He's a trade anything. Kirk.
He had a little farm out on
Leestown
Road, little place there. We lived there for a while.
Right by that overpass where the railroad place is.
Yeah. Yeah, just a small place. Yeah.
He was nice.
He was a good guy.
Yeah, he was.
His wife told me when he was in college, he traded so many cars one year that the town of Fort Collins said if he sold one more car, he's going to have to get a used car license. License to sell used cars.
That's funny.
All right, well, Walter, I'm going to let you go. And I appreciate you stopping by, my friend.
Okay.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
Lots of good stories and lies.
Yeah. I don't know how many would believe, I think. Say hello to June.
Okay, I will.
And I haven't seen her in years.
Well, she's around.
She's around, okay. She's still putting up with you.
Putting up with me.
She's got to be a saint.
Fox hunting.
Is she fox hunting? Who's she ride with?
Iroquois.
Okay. Yeah. Jackie used to go with Woodford.
Yeah. They're too fast now. Those crazy Irishmen.
We went to... we were with Woodford when it
first started.
Did you used to ride and fox?
Did you still?
Well, I don't since I got my knees done. I haven't really gotten in shape to get back.
Oh, I meant to ask you about that. You're doing all right on those knees? That's a miracle, isn't it?
Yeah, made a life changing difference.
Yeah.
So now your voice is a lot handier.
Well, I found out through a friend that Long Run over here in Simpsonville. They have four fields They have first field, non-jumping second field, third field's walk, trot, and canter, and that fourth field is walk, trot. I said, they're singing my song. Here I come. I'll see you next year. Oh, it's sad.
Yeah. All righty.
Okay.
Well, I'm running behind here.
Okay, well, I'll let you go.
Well, thanks, Walter. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Took me long enough to get you on here.
Well, it was fun.
Come back.
Yeah, come back anytime.
Okay.
Bring your own beer and a folding chair.
Every Saturday.
All right, well, yesterday, and you want to go ahead and do that station ID.
WLXC Lexington. ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville. What might they'll cause?
Well, yesterday at Santa Anita, the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile was won by Golden Sense, a 3-0 colt in the first crop by Into Mischief. Now, Golden Sense was already a Grade 1 winner of over $1,440,000 going into the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He's now a multiple Grade 1 winner of more than $2 million. As a reminder, Into Mischief was an original Share the Upside offering it by Spencery Farm. So congratulations to those breeders that took advantage of the program that now own a lifetime breeding right in the Into Mischief. Into Mischief stands at Spencery Farm. And there are two new additions to the Spencery Stallion Roster of 2014, both Grade 1 stakes winners. Liaison by Indian Charlie out of Keeneland and Churchill Downs stakes winner Galloping Gal won Grade 1 stakes at 2, went on to win Grade 2 stakes. He entered stud for $10,000, doing a full stands and nurses. Jimmy Creed is by Distorted Humor out of Grade 1 stakes winner and multiple Grade 1 producers hooked on the feeling. His fee is $12,500 doing a full stance and nurses. Inspect the Spencery of Stallions while you're in here. You're here for the sale, just give them a call. Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker will take care of you. The number over there, it's a local number, 294-0030, and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. Want to talk about Reborn, which is a whole bovine colostrum. It's concentrated bovine colostrum. It provides support through all stages of your thoroughbred's career, starting incidentally as a foal. It would be the best time to give it to him. But last year's Horse of the Year, Wise Dan, ran on it. So what it does, it boosts their immune systems, you know, and it helps keep them healthy, which is important. And they also make it for humans, and Jackie uses that religiously right now. She swears by it.
I do. Yeah. I swear.
And she can get in and out of bed in the morning. I'd vouch for that.
That's
sometimes late. But anyway, she goes to bed early and gets up late.
I'm a world-class sleeper now.
Yeah. Anyway, it's that's Reborn, R-E-B-O-R-N-E. And as I said, it supports immune functions in horses of all ages and provides a quicker recovery from physical challenges. To learn more about it, go to reborn.com. I won't talk about Lubricin too. Reborn.com. It's reborne.com. Or you can pick it up over at Old Friends or to KBC or at Horse Sense. Lubricin, it is also developed by Dr. Steve Alday, the same as Reborn was. And it's endorsed by some of the nation's leading owners and trainers and veterinarians as far as that goes. It's natural, test-free, and it helps sustain the integrity of joint fluid and reduces the cost of injections, acid injections, and so forth. I tell you who uses it: Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hollendorfer, Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them. And it's 100% sterile, and you don't have to worry about any kind of tests. And that's Lubricin.com, Lubricin.com, Lubricin.com. And that's also available over at KBC and Horse Sense and at Old Friends. So two excellent products. Well, good luck today to Rosaline and the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Rosaline's a 2-year-old filly. She is by Broken Vow. Bred by Hurstland Farm, James H. Green Jr. and Pin Oak Stud, owned by the Land of Lucy Stable, trained by Kenny McPeak, so good luck to Kenny, too. Rosaline is in 3 starts, 1 first time out, placed in the Grade 2 Pocahontas in her 2nd start. Of course, that's at Churchill Downs. And in the last start, she finished 2nd in the Grade 1 Alcibiades out at Keeneland.
Rosalind is one of 15 2013 stakes horses, 9 stakes winners by Broken Vow. Lifetime, Broken Vow has sired over 100 stakes horses, 57 stakes winners. He is the leading son of classic winner, classic sire, and sire of size unbridled at stud in North America. Stands at Pin Oak Stud with the stallions Alteration, who is standing his first season at stud this year. Millionaire, grade one, multiple graded winner. Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens. And see the website at pinoakstud.com. All righty. What'd you just show me over there, Jackie?
Tanya Bomita's train's here, right?
Oh, yeah. She used to. Okay, look at that book Michael gave you, American Racehorses, 1956.
Oh, that's
got to
be, that's Sammy. Sammy Bowman, same family.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. Is that not her dad?
No. That's her. She was married to a Bomita.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think still care, but it's a well-known name, no doubt about that.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny.
Got a picture of Sammy Bonita's switch on the most durable and most consistent sprinter, huh?
Won three
stakes and finished second in 5 others. Well, I'll have to look at that. They got this. It's a won 22 races and $214,000. Horse named Switch On. What? I can't remember what Switch On was. Who the daddy of Switch On was, but he was running back when I was around.
It's right here.
And yeah, well, it should be right over here. And he's by, well, no one I didn't remember. He's by a horse named Condiment. Probably the only runner he ever sired. I feel a little bit better about forgetting who he was.
There you are.
Bye now. I need to get in touch with Steve Moody anytime we can get a hold of him. Are you trying to get him? All right, good. And meanwhile, I had forgotten that to give you the winners, recent winners since last week's show of races that were trained right here at the Thoroughbred Center. We've had 10 since last week. Let's see, what was last week? The 19th? What was the date of last Saturday? 19th?
No, 20-something.
Oh, no, it was the 19th. Anyway, Marco Castaneda said
it won. It had to be 26. Because it's already November.
Had to be the what?
26. If 19th was...
Well, oh, yeah, you're right. 20, it was, yeah. Okay, well, since last week, well, these are 23rd, 22nd. Hell, I got to look at a calendar. Where's a calendar? Please hang that calendar down. Look and see what, well.
Where's the calendar?
Right behind you.
Oh.
I can't keep up with it.
October.
I think it was the 19th.
19 and 26 was last week.
Okay.
The week before was the 19th.
You're right. Okay.
Oof, say that again on the air.
Uh-huh.
You were right.
God, I never lived that down. Okay, we've had 10 since last week's show.
Oh, good.
And we'll start off with one at Keeneland, saddled by Curvin Smith. You know, good old Curvin over here.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah. He won the first or last race that day.
He won out at Keeneland with Amy Who.
Yeah.
He probably named it, too. Adolfo Marcias won at Mountaineer with Noontime Gambler. Tim Shue won at Mountaineer with Mr. Wilder. John Langemeyer won at Mountaineer with Bluegrass Affair. Paul Garcia won at Mountaineer with Dancing with the Boss. Billy Blevins won at Mountaineer with Kobe. Wayne Mackey won at Churchill Downs with Knights Nation. And that was yesterday, the day before. And let's see. Guillermo Rangel won with Slough Water Slough at Churchill Downs. So we have 2 winners at Churchill Downs already. Last month... we had 39 winners from the training center. Had 9 out of Keeneland, within 2 at Churchill. So we had a pretty good meeting. You know, to win 9 races at Churchill, you know, we don't.
Yeah.
That's tough to win out there.
You mean at Keeneland?
I mean at Keeneland.
Yeah, it is.
It's tough to win at Keeneland at any level. So I was really. Let's see who won at Keeneland. Let me plug them while we're at it. Keeneland. Otto Draper. Won at Keeneland. Of course, Eduardo won
the Buffalo Trace Stakes out there with Queen's Award, Mountaineer Keeneland. Luis Jurado won with Bear on the Road at Keeneland. Still looking here. Bill Hickey won at Keeneland with Fantastic Vow. Chuck Peary won at Keeneland with Laddy Boy. Paul McAtee won at Keeneland with John Don. Tommy Short won at Keeneland with Carry This Day Lori. Brian Michael won at Keeneland with This Boat Has Sailed. And then, of course, Curvin Smith with Amy Who. And then two winners at Churchill already, Wayne Mackey and Guillermo Rangel. And they both won on the 30th, which would have been Friday. So that's pretty good. Pretty good. I got to catch up on, I'm running a set of commercials behind. To compete at the highest level, look to the big three at Edina Springs. Awesome again, Go Zapper, Macho Uno, starters in today's Grade 1 $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Include Game On Dude by Awesome Again, Paintner by Awesome Again, Marino by Go Zapper, Mucho Macho Man by Macho Uno. In addition, Go Zapper is the sire of Czar Approval, entered in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile, and Judy the Beauty and Starship Truffles in the Grade 1 Fillies and Mares Sprint. Macho Uno is the sire of Private Zone in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint. Awesome Again is the only winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic to have sired a winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. Hall of Famer Go Zapper, and he is the co-leading active sire of Breeders' Cup, winners of Breeders' Cup races. Awesome Again has sired three Grade 1 Stakes winners this year. Go Zapper has sired three Grade 1 Stakes winners this year. Macho Uno has sired three Grade 1 Stakes winners this year. The Big Three stand at Edina Springs. For more about the Edina Stallions at Edina Springs, see the farm, 859-987-1798. Just give them a call and see the website at AdinaStallions.com.
Want unlimited access and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, good luck today to Silver Max in Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. Sired by Badger Silver, who stands at Airdrie Studs. Silver Max led all the way to win a Grade 1 Shadwell Mile, beating reigning horse of the year Wise Dan, because that was a Keeneland. Silver Max has earned over $1,658,000. The Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. So take a close look at the consignment of Brad and C. Jones, Airdrie Stud agent at Keeneland. Seven top weanlings, six by the Airdrie Stallions, Haynesfield in Majestic Perfection. Four from the first crop by Grade 1 Stakes winner Millionaire Haynesfield, the son of Eclipse Award winner and outstanding sire Sprightstown. And two by Grade 1 winner Majestic Perfection, who was described by his trainer, Steve Asmussen, as the fastest horse he'd ever seen. The seventh is from the first crop by Girolamo, a Grade 1 winner by AP Indy. They're in Book 2, Barn 36, selling Friday. And if you're looking for a young broodmare racing prospect, see hip number 26, Monday at Fazy Tipton, Dancing in the Circle by Divine Park. She's a stakes winner. She's placed in graded stakes. She's earned over $121,000. It's the family holy bull. Then see hip number 147, a young breeding prospect. She's earned a pretty good runner, too. She's won over $87,000, and she's by the Red Hot Kitten's Joy out of a stakes winner and stakes producer. They're in barn 3A, consigned by Bird and C. Jones, Airdrie Stud. All right. Jackie, I'm going to talk to Mr. Steve Moody now. Jackie wants some money to go to the Gee Dunk, get some donuts. Here you go. Steve, how are you today?
Hey, Steve, he wants a donut.
Steve?
Doing all right, Ursel.
Did I wake you up?
Oh, no. I've been up doing a little internet scanning.
Well, let's look at the Chalukyi Stakes, and which is a feature down at, I think it's for two-year-olds, isn't it?
No, it's 3-year-olds.
Well, wrong again.
Yeah, three fillies and mares.
Okay, I haven't had a look at my Sunday form yet, but who do you like in that today?
All right, well, we've got a fast racetrack at Churchill. No scratches, at least for right now, for the Chalukyi Stakes at field of 12. This race is a flat mile. As I said, fillies and mares 3 and up. Pretty tough race, Ursel. You know, that 1 mile distance, of course, was only one turn at Churchill, and it's a little bit, kind of a funny distance. And I kind of like late running sprinters in there that over horses that have been going around two turns. That sort of led me to the five horse, Sisterly Love. This one goes for Mark Cassie, and she's run her best on the dirt, and she's run two really big efforts in a one-turn mile. Those were down at Gulfstream, but she has good speed, but she didn't have to have the lead every step of the way to be able to win. And I just think this this race setup here really suits her, the one-turn mile at Churchill. I'm going to give her a slight edge over the one horse, Don't Tell Sophia. She was a winner in her only start at Churchill for trainer Phil Sims, and came from off the pace and just won going away in there. So I think she has a big shot today. I don't really like the one post in those one turn miles, but it is a long run down the back stretch, and with her off, being that she can run from off the pace, I don't think it'll hurt her maybe as much as it would ones that would be running up front. And then the one of the horses on the outside is the 11 Sky Girl, lightly raced filly that has been a consistent performer for Bill Mott. I think she would need her best effort today, but she's always, you know, I think she's got a lot of talent, and she does have a good post. I think she can come in and grab part of it. But we're going to go with the five horse Sisterly Love, 5-1-11 in the Chalukya Stakes.
All right, you got time to look at a couple of the Breeders' Cup races, Steve?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, who do you like in the Classic? That's a great race, isn't it?
Yeah, and they, of course, the horse I was kind of leaning toward in the race ended up coming out earlier this week. That was Ron the Greek.
Yeah.
But now with him out the field of 11 in the Classic, it just looks to me like that there's going to be plenty of pace in here with Fort Larned and with Marino and Game On Dude. And even though the track out there normally doesn't play for horses coming from off the pace, I think that it just seems like it almost has to in this race today. And I like, you know, something that can get the job done with that kind of strategy. I'm leaning toward the six horse, Mucho Macho Man for Kathy Ritvo. She's done a really great job with this horse. Gary Stevens, who got him a win yesterday, first Breeders' Cup win in 13 years after his of course, there's about a 7-year retirement mixed in.
Yeah,
uh-huh. But a big win for him, and I think he's got a chance to get another one with this one.
It's game horse, isn't he? Game,
yeah,
dead game.
He's, he can handle that racetrack. The other horse I think has a chance in here is the other Baffert horse, and that's Painter. He can lay a little bit off the pace, ought to get a pretty decent trip in there along the inside. And, this horse always, you know, just always a hard trying horse. I'm going to give him, take him in the two spot, and then, take a look at the, foreign horse in here, Ursel, the 5 Declaration of War. Coming over here for Aiden O'Brien, where she nearly won it quite a few years ago with Giants Causeway at Churchill. But this horse has got a dirt pedigree. I think if I remember right, it's a Warfront out of a Rahi mare, if I remember right. And you know, obviously a top class horse with who he's been facing in Europe. If he were to take to the track over there, I think you got to give him a chance. You know, sort of hesitate on picking Europeans in the dirt races, but do think he could maybe get part of it. So, but we're going to take Mucho Macho Man. He's going to be our top pick in the classic.
You don't like Game On Dude, huh?
Well, you know, I just don't see him getting a breather. I mean, I just think that Marino and Fort Larner are going to be,
yeah,
you know, going to be breathing on him the whole time, and so for that reason, I'm going to try to. And plus, he's 8-5. I mean, heck,
well, there you go. that's a big reason with you. I see that right away. Yeah, well, he's it's his home. You know, he's playing on his home court, and of course, that's Painter's home court too, as far as that goes. But gosh, he's awful tough. You know, I'd hate to pick against him, so I'm going to stick with him. But I really do like Mucho Macho Man because I've liked him right from the beginning because he is one dead game horse. I mean, they'll have to outrun him and not going to outgame him, that's for sure. But he's also a Florida bred, so I'm going to have to kind of root against him a little bit there. But what other races do you like? What about the turf?
Well, the turf, Herschel, we've got a field of 13. Certainly of the American runners, I think Shug's horse is the one to beat, Point of Entry. But I just think that the Fugue is better than anybody that's been running over here. You know, she was she's beaten some really quality competition in Europe. She's already beaten colts over there, including Al-Kazim, who's certainly in the running for the European champion over there. And she was she's been impressive in her last couple of starts, and she was second last year, I believe, in the race. So, or in the race she was in, it wasn't this race. It was
Philly and Mare Turf.
Yeah. But Philly and Mare Turf. But so you know, she's been over this turf course. It's not like she's never been on it before. I think to me, she's the horse to beat in the mile and a half turf.
Okay, that's very interesting. Who are you like in the sprint?
Very tough race, and this, you know, of course, this was a really heartbreaking race too, with the horse who broke down last week, who would have been one of the favorites. Points off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, had to feel really, really badly for their connections. And, you know, that was just a terrible, terrible thing. You know, I've kind of gone back and forth on this race. Private Zone for Doug O'Neill, I think, is probably the horse to beat. I think Secret Circle for Baffert has a big shot in here, and I've been Justin Phillip is another one. Not crazy about that, about being stuck down in the one hole, but I guess right now I'm sort of leaning toward Secret Circle. and I would give him a slight edge over over Private Zone.
Yeah. Okay. I'll ask you about one more, the mile.
Well, I just think the race, Wise Dan's race here is the throwout. You know, the race got washed off the turf, and when you wash it off the turf, you know, he was drawn outside, and, you know, if you're outside going a mile on turf, that's not really a big deal. But when you're outside going a mile and a 16th on the main track at Keeneland, that is a big deal. And he, if you watch the race, I mean, he was 6-7 wide all the way around the first turn. And I don't know how much further he ran than Silver Max did, but it had to be quite a bit. And I just think that last race at Keeneland is a throw out on the Poly, even though he has won on it. But I think he's back on the turf. He looks like he's I saw him work the other day or gallop, and I just think he's going to be ultra tough. And it's not really, I don't think this year, it's not the stellar group that you're normally seeing in the mile either. So I think he bounces back with a big win today for Charlie Lopresti.
Yeah, well, I kind of, Charlie's a good guy, so kind of hope he wins it. Okay. All right. Well, Steve, I really appreciate it. And if I can find it on TV, I think it's, I'm on Dish. It's 159, I believe. I don't believe I get that. Tell you the truth. Oh, God. But,
It's on the NBC. Do you get HRTV?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to have all the races except for the Classic. And then, of course, the Classic will be on NBC.
Very good. Very good.
So you can get it that way if you don't get the NBC cable station.
Okay. No. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Okay. We're great. Thank you. Well, this has been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can buy that wherever you find a daily racing form and pick one up out of Keeneland, of course. And it's published by our good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. And Steve, you have a good day.
All right, Ursula.
Don't lose too much now. All righty.
Well, the other way.
Yeah. Yesterday at Santa Anita, the Grade 2 $500,000 Breeders' Cup Marathon was won by London Bridge, 3-year-old Cobra Arch. Now, London Bridge was the only 3-year-old in the field, making just his first start in this country. He'd won 3 stakes in Great Britain. Of course, Arch is a great source of stamina. He's a sire, Blame, who won the Breeders' Cup Classic and was champion older male and Eclipse Award winner, of course, of 2010. He's a sire of 4 champions, Arch is. In other recent stakes, on October 26, the Grade 3 Bold Ruler Handicap at Belmont was won by Clearly Now, a 3-year-old colt in the first crop by Horse Greeley. And $100,000 Ruling Angel stakes at Woodbine went to Native Bombshell, a 3-year-old filly by Warfront. And the very next day, out at Santa Anita, the Lure stakes was won by BioPro. And BioPro is Warfront's 18th 2013 stakes winner. Warfront's also the sire of Declaration of War, goes today in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic and of Diamond Bracelet in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Arch, Blame, Warfront. Stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. See the website at claibornefarm.com. My good friends Hill and Reagan Parker, realtors, of course, been in the real estate business for about a dozen years now. They're real horse people, and that's very important. If you've got a horse farm you want to sell, or if you're looking to buy a horse farm, people who know what you're looking for and can find that just the perfect farm for you. And they've got them in a wide variety of locations all over central Kentucky, Fayette, Bourbon, Jessamine County, Woodford, Scott, Clark. They got an outstanding variety of locations, sizes, and prices. Got a great website. You can check them all out on lexhorsefarms.com, LexHorseFarms.com. And they're wonderful people to deal with. And they, of course, Hill's out here training again. So I thought he had taken a little break from training, but I saw him out here the other day with He came in with his trailer and unloaded. He got the best broke horses in the county, I think. They just follow him along. I think he tells them to heel, and they follow him. And he's always won his share of races. He's a good horseman. A-level pony clubber, and he's also a good realtor. These are people that you can trust. I mean, their words are bond. They work real hard for you, do the best they can for you. Now, once again, that website is LexHorseFarms.com, LexHorseFarms.com, and you couldn't do any better if you're looking for a horse farm than to go with Hill Reagan Parker. Well, weanlings by Tappet and Dossemeyer and Sidney's Candy and a young racing and breeding prospect that has already won graded stakes in over 629,000 going to be sold opening day at Keeneland. They're in Barn 6 in the Polk McLean Crestwood Farm agent consignment. There's a colt by Tappet. He's a half-brother to two graded stakes winners, and one of them's earned over $1,117,000. There's a Dossemeyer filly out of a mare that won graded stakes, placed in the classic Grade 1 Alabama, and she earned over $581,000. There's a Sidney's Candy colt that's out of a young half-sister to a Kentucky Oaks winner, also to a millionaire. And there's an outstanding race mare with Great Pleasure. She's just 5 years old and is a Grade 2 stakes winner of over $629,000. Superb racing or breeding prospect. Then look for the Pope McLean Crestwood Farm agent consignment at Book 2, Barn 21 out of Keeneland, where you find a young half-sister to a multiple graded stakes winner carrying one of the last foals by Unbridled Song, a young daughter of Grade 1 winner and Grade 1 producer Fantastic Light in full to congrats. These two are being sold as agent for Golden Eagle Farm. There's a weanling colt by Trapshot. That's his first crop. He's a half-brother to two stakes winners. There's a Street Boss filly. He's getting runners. This one's a half-sister to a Grade 2 stakes winner and a Grade 1 place filly. And a colt by Champion Cape Blanco by Galileo, out of a stakes winner and from a family of champions. So starting Barn 6 Tuesday, then going to Barn 21 Thursday for the consignment of Pope McLean Crestwood Farm agent. While you're there, talk to him. Get a hold of one of those boys out there, Pope himself, about the facilities, the services that are available out of Crestwood Farm. It's family operated, and they treat their people like family. You just can't go wrong with Crestwood Farm. All righty. Now, we'll take care of my good friend David Schweitzer over to KTA, who likes us to announce the breeders of stakes winners from the previous weekend. And also, I'm going to get them this week, as far as that goes, because there's a whole bunch of them. Let me tuck this away right here. The Breeders' Cup Distaff Grade 1 winner, Beholder, bred by Clarkland Farm. It's Fred and Nancy Mitchell over here at Clarkland Farm. By golly, congratulations to them. And also to Spencery Farm, who they bought Beholder as a yearling, I guess. Anyway, I'm pretty sure it's a yearling. And it looks like she's going to be the champion three-year-old filly of 2013. So congratulations to the folks over at Clarkland Farm. Let's see. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf winner was bred, won by an Irish bred. So I just got that to me. Let's see. Here's a Kentucky bred. The Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile Grade 1 Golden Sense won that. He's by End of Mischief, who stands over at Spendthrift Farm. And if I'm not mistaken, In the Mischief is a half-brother to Beholden. I believe that's right. But he's bred by Rosecrest Farm and Karen Perello. In the Mischief is by Harlan's Holiday, who just died yesterday down in Argentina. Very sad thing. In the Mischief at Spendthrift Farm, of course. Let's see. This one's foaled in Great Britain. This one's foaled in New York. I've got all the Breeders' Cup races here, which I'm not going to have time to talk about. I see that right now. The Twilight Derby Grade 2, it was $150,000 yesterday at Santa Anita. And the winner was a Rookie Sensation, bred by my friends out at Adena Springs. And he'll probably be going to the stud out there too. Huh, might be writing about him a little bit. He's buying Bridal Song. There are not any more of them after this year. The Haggard Fayette Stakes, Grade 2, out at Keeneland winner. was bred by Richard Sherman. That's a Kentucky bred. The Bull Ruler Handicap Grade 3 at Belmont Park. The winner was clearly Now, a colt from the first crop by Horse Greeley, bred by Claiborne Farm. They turned back the Alarm Handicap, Grade 3 Handicap at Belmont Park, was by Empire Maker. Stanwick is its name, and it was bred by Mr. and Ms. Jerry Moss. The My Trusty Cat Stakes at Delta Downs winner was bred by in Kentucky by Dr. Glenn Warren. The Pike Palace Stakes at Golden Gate, that's a two-year-old by Artie Schiller. That's five or six two-year-olds. Two of them grade one by Artie Schiller stands over Windstar. This one bred by Shane Doyle and Penny McCarthy. The Lure Stakes at Santa Anita winner was by Warfront, BioPro, bred by Buck Pond Farm. And TEWLP. The Chelsea Flower Stakes at Belmont Park winner, Receptor. That's a Sprite stand that stands at Windstar, bred by John W. Phillips and Hank Snowden. The Street Scent Stakes at Churchill Downs winner was Coastline. That's another Sprightstown, bred by Datt Farm, D-A-T-T-T. How did you pronounce that? Whatever. The Rags to Riches at Churchill Downs winner. That's an Indian Charlie named Clever Beauty, bred by Tony Holmes, Braffini Farm, and the Indian Charlie Syndicate. The Ruling Angel Stakes at Woodbine winner, another Warfront, Native Bombshell, bred by B.D. Gibbs, and Fleetwood Bloodstock. The Queen of the Green Stakes at Turf Paradise, winner was Rock Hard Bunny, bred by Mercedes Stables. Jean Lafitte at Delta Downs winner was Rise Up, bred by Cottonwood Stables. You would think Cottonwood would be out west somewhere, wouldn't you? The Sharp Cat Stakes at Belmont went to Tea Time by Pulpit, bred by Sarah and John Kelly and Helen Groves. The Big Bear Stakes, this was Thursday at Santa Anita. It was won by Majestic City, bred by Trackside Farm, Robert Evans and Helen Evans. The Dream Supreme Stakes, yesterday at Churchill Downs, Ms. Anna Destiny won that, bred by Edward A. Gamble. So that's all the Kentucky Bred Stakes winners. Well, Ms. Direction's a five-year-old mare by Mizzen Mast. Defends her title today in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Now, Ms. Direction displayed a brilliant closing rush to beat the boys in her last year's Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. She's won three more graded stakes this year. She's earned over $1,169,000. Ms. Mass, of course, is also the South Flotilla, winner of last year's Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. And of the French, this year she's won the French 1,000 guineas. Now, here's another runner by Mizzen Mast to keep an eye on. Seems like there's always another Mizzen Mast to watch. October 24 at Keenan, Green Mask, a two-year-old colt by Mizzen Mast, bred by the DJ Stables, won a $56,000 maiden special, won by over five lengths, breaking from the next to the outside. He's in post position 11. Green Mask led at every call to win, to quote the official charter of the race, gathered up late. In other words, it took a hold of him. Mizzen Mast has sired five grade one stakes winners. So it would be a pretty good idea to take a good look at the Mizzen Mast weanlings and mares and folders cover out at the breeding stock sales. Classic winner Mizzen Mast and the young classic sire First Defense both stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com. Well, in stakes last weekend, $100,000 Chelsea Flower at Belmont went to Receptor, bred by John W. Phillips and Hank Snowden, raised on Macaulay products at Darby Dan Farm. The $100,000 Pike Place, that is, Dancer Stakes, went to Miss Machiavelli, bred by Shane Doyle and Penry Carthen, raised at Watercress Farm. The Rags to Riches Stakes at Keenan was won by Clever Beauty, bred by Tony Holmes, Braffini, and the Indian Creek Farm Syndicate, also raised on Macaulay products. Thursday at Santa Anita, the Big Bow Stakes was won by Majestic City, bred by Trackside Farm and Robert and Helen Evans. And yesterday, the Grade 2 $150,000 Twilight Derby was won by Rookie Sensation, bred by Dina Springs. And those were also raised on Macaulay products. So congratulations to all. And they're looking forward to today's Breeders' Cup races, where there are a number of starters that were raised on the products from Macaulay Brothers, including five in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Defending Breeders' Cup Classic winner Fort Larned, Game On Dude, Last Gunfighter, Palace Malice, and Painter.
To breed the best, feed the best. Just call Mike Warren or David Longmire at McCauley's, 859-873-3333. You're always welcome to stop by the office over at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Remember, McCauley Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Well, the first foals by Dunkirk are two-year-olds, and he is the nation's leading freshman sire. Dunkirk's the sire of Havana, undefeated, winner of the historic Grade 1 Champagne Stakes. He goes today in the Grade 1 $2 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He's also the sire of Duncan Ben, winner of the Grade 3 Saplin Stakes. That's at Monmouth. Four others have placed in stakes. That's six stakes horses in his first crop. Now, Dunkirk stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Other Ashford sires of Breeders' Cup starters today are Scat Daddy, sire of Handsome Mike in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint, and of Lady of Shamrock in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. Taylor the Cat's sire of She's a Tiger. She's got a big shot in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, and of Tale of a Champion in the Breeders' Cup Turf. And John Squays is our Fed Biz in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and a Book Review in the Grade 1 Fillies and Mare Sprint. So for more information about the stallions at Ashford Stud, call the farm, 859-873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com. You want to do some announcements?
I sure will.
You're going, goody, goody, goody. I get to rest my big fat mouth.
Terrible.
Which has been flapping now for about an hour and 45 minutes.
Yes, it has.
I'm going to have to interrupt you in the middle of it. But.
Oh, that's okay. There's, I got a notice that the Kentucky Horse Park Foundation has a chance to win a $7,500 endowment grant. Good Giving Guide Challenge. All donations. Anyway, if you can give them 25 or more, they can qualify for this $7,500. That would be really neat. Plus what you give, I guess, is, you know, part of it. But anyway, if you're interested, there's a girl named Laura Klumb, C-L-U-M-B. She's the executive director of the Horse Park Foundation, and they said, please forward, so I'm just going to talk about it. Go to goodgivingguide.net, or you can call the Horse Park Foundation and get more information. That's a pretty nice thing. It sounds like one of those, they match your whatever. Tonight is Fun for the Family. This is a whole bunch of stuff that's going on in conjunction with the All Tech Show, the national show at the Horse Park. It's going on today, and tomorrow is the championship. Now, this is the very famous show from, I mean, it's 100 years old or something. It used to be years ago. It was a very social thing in New York, and then it was at Madison Square Garden and the McClay championships for riders and all this that kind of stuff. Very big deal. And they moved it somewhere, I forget, New Jersey or somewhere, and it was on its last legs. And Alltech took it up and brought it here. I think this is the second or third year for it. And they've got all kind of stuff going on at the same time. Now today is November 2nd. Right? Sample 5 restaurants, 9 breweries, 27 beers, and 32 bourbons to sample out there.
All at once?
I don't know.
But all at once.
All at once.
Wow.
They're going to sample and purchase local foods. Ursula's finally interested. All right. And, oh, here's one. You can learn to be a beer or bourbon judge in their sensory panel. Huh. And live music, Kentucky artist. Also, free children activities, bouncy castles, whatever that is, pony rides, face painting, and a lot more. It's just really a nifty thing. Now, today is the $250,000 Alltech Grand Prix. This is speed and accuracy of the world's top riders. They really are. And Tomorrow is the McClay, ASPCA Alfred B. McClay Final, Nation's Top Junior Riders. This is as good as it gets. It's a really great thing. You can get a trolley if you park downtown. Go to KentuckyGathering.com, and you can get a trolley out there. It's such a big deal. Also, today is Snowbird Dressage. That's where you pay, and they let you ride a test, and then they grade you. You know, it's like a show, but, you know. Next week, 7th, 8th, and 9th, and 10th of the November is U.S. Dressage Finals. Following week is Holiday Market. And Olika Shriners Rodeo is coming the 22nd and 23rd. And then they're having something called the Spirit of the Horse, November 29th, a holiday equine extravaganza. I'm not sure what that is. Of course, coming up will be Southern Lights, which is always a really, really, really good thing. Now, Breeders' Cup is going on, so you can get reruns. Monet's, they're online, they are on eBay, and you just go to ebay.com and search word is Monet, M-O-N-E-I-G-H. It runs through November 4th. They've got paintings by Wise Dan, Tisnow, Cut Thief, Shanghai Bobby, Stephanie's Kitten. Oh, Mucho Macho Man, who's running today.
Goes in the classic.
There's a Kitten's Joy. Just tons of stuff. There's a posse. I'm just grabbing its stuff. And an orb. So that goes to an absolutely terrific rerun. I mean, they make money, and there you are. So that's, tomorrow is the 2013 Hunter's Pace. It is at Masterson. Registration starts at 9:30, and it's a wonderful thing. Come out and try something new. Pace divisions for jumping, non-jumping, trail riders, family class. I'm going when they do a walk trot.
Interrupt your second?
Go right ahead.
I'll go in and do a crawl. Invisor won 9 Grade 1 stakes, prominent among them the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, in which he defeated an outstanding field that included the likes of Bernardini and Premium Tap, Giacomo and Brother Derek, Perfect Grip, Lorion, Flower Alley. Invisor was voted Horse of the Year and Champion Old Male as a 4-year-old, who was the top-rated horse in the world that year. Never defeated in his native South America, where he has also been named Horse of the Year and Champion 3-year-old. Never defeated in North America, winner of the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup, top-rated horse in the world at the time of retirement. Invisor earned more than $7,804,000. He's the sire of the 2013 Stakes Winner's Alsus, winner of the Grade 3 Modesty, placed in 3 more stakes, including the Grade 1 Beverly D, and she's earned $331,733. And St. Arthur, one of the Ontario County Stakes, and placed in 3 other stakes, among them the Bertrand F. Bungard at Belmont Park. In addition, Invisor is the sire of 2 others that have placed in stakes this year. Expression, stakes placed twice at Belmont, and Chichanco at Tampa Bay. For more about the stallions at Shadwell Farm, contact stallion manager Ken Barnes. Here's his number, 859-224-4585. And the website is shadwellfarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, opening day at Churchill Downs, the Street Cent Stakes was won by Coastline, a two-year-old colt by Spitestown. That same day at Belmont, Receptor, a two-year-old filly by Spitestown, won the Chelsea Flower Stakes. Spitestown is a sire of 21 2013 stakes winners, 8 graded, 3 grade 1, and he sired the winners of over $9,800,000. He ranks a close second on the North American side. He's a sire of 5 starters in Breeders' Cup races today. Spitestown stands at Windstar Farm. Also standing at Windstar are Harlan's Holiday, who has 2 starters today in Breeders' Cup races. Unfortunately, Harlan's Holiday died yesterday down in South America, in Argentina. Terrible loss. Artie Schiller, Distorted Humor, Colonel John, Tis Now, More Than Ready, and Street Hero were also represented. To compete at the highest level, look to the Windstar Stag. For more information or to book a mare for 2014, get in touch with Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim. The number over at Windstar Farm is 859-873-1717. Go to the website, windstarfarm.com. All right, Jackie, my love of my life, if you want to continue.
That's well, I got a love of my life, and I got you were right all in the same time period.
I'm hungry. I want lunch today.
Seeing as how it's fall and it's going into winter, I want to say something about Sally Van. Showing and that kind of stuff is indeed slowing down, although fox hunting is ramping up, but it's a really good time to have your trailer looked at and fixed, and how will they grease the wheels or pack the wheels? I forget what they do. And they check all the electrical. They're not complicated pieces of machinery, but they have to be in working order, and you have to know what you're doing. Sally Van does this. They do a great job. I had them do mine, and it's just it's worth every penny. And they're not that they're expensive. They're not. But the peace of mind that you get when you hook up and you're hauling a horse or two down the road, you want to really be sure somebody that knows what they're doing, not your cousin Ed, to take care of it. Now, I'm going to give you an 800 number. They do, they work on, what kind of truck have I got? Diesel. That's a hard word. They do gooseneck and equine trailer repair. They also do regular, you know, cattle trailers and stuff. It's 800-967-8267. Oh, 800-967-8267. That's the way to remember that. Or go to www.sallyhorsevans.com. Their regular number, Ben Eversoll is the fleet and facility manager. They're over on Buck Lane, and they just do a terrific job. He's got a 513 area code because he's from Cincinnati. Huh. Anyway, just give him a call at Sally Van and just roll it in there, and you know that you've left it with somebody who's going to do a good job and know what they're doing. Keeneland is hosting the Sporting Art Auction, featuring fine sporting art, American painting, and sculpture. And it's worth it just to go out and take a look. They've got a Munnings for sale. This thing is 26 by 39 inches. That's a biggie. You can put that over your fireplace. It's Munnings' portrait. It's an oil. Blueprints the Second on Newmarket Heath. And it's a stunner. It's gorgeous. This auction will be Wednesday, November 20th at Keeneland at the Sales Pavilion. And it's open from 10 till 6 Monday through Saturday, now through the 19th, and the auction being on the 20th. It's worth it just to go see an absolutely stunning Munnings that in the print. All right, I want to say something about Lexington Computer Clinic. They're in the Myers at Hamburg. They're my computer guys. When I run into a, oh, yeah, I'll see you Monday, fellas. I never did take the something off of one of the shows to put up. Sorry, Riss, I'm going to do that Monday. But see, you can go out there with your laptop and plunk it down, and they will give you a 30-minute lesson on how to not make that mistake again. And it's $20. I mean, it's great. They're super duper. Their phone number is 263-7374. It's 263-7374.
All righty. Did that do it?
Yeah, that did it.
That did it?
You know, it's hard to decide where you want to go tomorrow. You want to go to the All-Tech big deal, or you want to go out to Masterson for the Hunter Pace?
I think I'll take a nap. Yesterday in Santa Anita, the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile was won by Golden Sense, a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by Into Mischief. Golden Sense was already a Grade 1 winner of $1,440,000 going into the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. So now he's a multiple Grade 1 winner of more than $2 million. As a reminder, Into Mischief was an original Share the Upside offering by Spendthrift Farm. So congratulations to those breeders that took advantage of the program. Now on a lifetime breeding right to Into Mischief. Into Mischief stands at Spendthrift Farm. And there are two new additions to the stallion roster for 2014, both of which are Grade 1 stakes winners. Liaison by Indian Charlie, out of Keeneland and Churchill Downs stakes winner Galloping Gal, won Grade 1 stakes at 2 and went on to win Grade 2 stakes. He entered stud for $10,000, payable in the foal stands and nurses. Jimmy Creed is by Distorted Humor, out of Grade 1 stakes winner and multiple Grade 1 producer Hooked on the Feeling. His fee is $12,500 due in the foal stands and nurses. To inspect the Spencer stallions while you're in town for the sales, just give them a call. Ask for Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker. Anybody can help you over there. Phone number, it's 859-294-0030. Take a look at the website, SpendthriftFarm.com. Into Mischief, incidentally, is by Harlan's Holiday, who was destroyed yesterday, passed away yesterday down in Argentina, where he was
breeding
services on Southern Hemisphere time. It's a very sad kind of a thing. Horse just 14 years old and already had climbed to number 6 on the North American sire list. So, too bad. He was by Harlan, who, of course, stood over at Stone Farm for Arthur Hancock. All right, winners from the Thoroughbred Center. Last month, we had 39, 9 at Keeneland and 2 at Churchill, incidentally. 2 of those at Churchill, of course, on opening day. But 9 winners at Keeneland is pretty good. Since last week's show, we have had 10. And let's see, a couple of them were at Keeneland. No, I get confused looking at this now. What did I do with that list?
26 was last week.
Yeah, I know it was 26, but there was another page to this thing. Kirvin Smith, Adolfo Marcias, Tim Shue, John Langemeyer, Paul Garcia, Billy Blevins, Wayne Mackey, Guayamo Wrangle. And there's 2 more. Here they are. Sherman Mitchell and Floyd Cobb. They both won last night. No, they won Friday night. That is last night, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, today's the 2nd. Yeah, both of them won down at Mountaineer. And anyway, congratulations to those guys. And we're about to run out of time here, I do believe. I want to thank Walter Zent for coming by. I've been known Walter for a number of years. He was fun to talk to.
That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we both knew a lot of the same people, and that always helps to do an interview like that. So I want to thank Jake down at the station. Superior job, Jake. And, of course, Ressie here, right here in the Clocker stand with us. Ressie's here every week. Couldn't do without him. Thank you for listening, both of you, and we will talk to you next week. Oh, one other thing.
Whoa.
We're on an hour late next week. An hour early. Excuse me.
From 9 till 11.
Yeah. 9 till 11 next week. Thank you. Goodbye.
Hail to you. Till we meet.